Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Michael the Hebrew Hammer Brown. This is another episode of The Dream Shakes the Dream Take. It is just me flying Han Solo this evening here on the Facebook page of the Mothership for The Dream Shake. Tonight's very unhappy final from inside of Toyota Center. The Memphis Grizzlies hand the Rockets yet another loss. The Rockets lose 120 to 110. I hope everybody excuses my voice. I'm a little hoarse from watching this evening's game between the Houston Cougars and the Oregon State Beavers, where the University of Houston punched their ticket to the Final Four. As a very proud alumni of the University of Houston, I'm flying on cloud number 9 right now. What a game. Congrats to ex-Rockets coach Kelvin Sampson on the job that he has done at the University of Houston. It is nothing short than miraculous. And for the first time since the 80s, the Houston Cougars are in the Final Four. You'll have to excuse me. That's just awesome. Literally happened less than like 45 minutes ago. So we will get to all things Houston Rockets, but I did want to give a short shout out to the University of Houston making it to the Final Four. Jake, what's up, my man? Always good to hear from you. Let's get to the box score for tonight's game. Box score breakdown for the Houston Rockets. The Rockets were led tonight by Kelly Olynyk. Kelly Olynyk, oh my God, like, where the heck did this guy come from? The dude has, you know, unbelievable. I mean, the guy, 25 points tonight, 9 rebounds, 2 assists, 10 of 17 from the field. Did struggle from the 3-point line, 0 of 5. Jay Sean Tate, Ryan, always good to hear from you. Angelito, always good to hear from you as well. Jay Sean Tate, 24 points, 7 rebounds. John Wall struggled tonight again, 2 of 12. Field, 9 points, 3 rebounds, 8 assists. Daniel House did not have a great night. 2 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists. Off the bench, Sterling Brown, another solid night, 10 points, 7 rebounds. DJ Augustine continues to impress, in my opinion, University of Houston, Final Four. DJ Augustine, 13 points tonight. Avery Bradley made his Rockets debut this evening, 3 points, 2 rebounds, 3 assists. KJ Martin, 6 points and 3 rebounds. Look, y'all, Memphis is tough. I mean, Memphis is a tough team. Without Christian Wood, it was going to be an uphill battle against Jonas Valanciunas, who dominated this evening, 30 points, 15 rebounds. Brooks for them at 17 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. John Morant, 12 points, 5 rebounds, 8 assists. And ex-Houston Rocket De'Anthony Melton, who I want to talk a little bit about after we continue this box score breakdown. Desmond Bane, 17 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists. Just too much, you know, too much Grizzlies tonight down the stretch. Rockets look good in the first half. And one thing that you're going to look at with a young team like the Rockets is it's not totally shocking to me when they perform really well in the first half and they just lose steam late. They have to learn how to finish those games. That's not a skill. Anybody who's played basketball, anybody who's coached basketball, I have done both at the high school level. So don't, you know, nothing crazy, nothing too like, oh my God, look at me. But it is hard. I mean, it is hard to play a game from beginning to end at a very high level. It's a skill that you have to learn. It's a skill that you have to excel at. You have to, you know, start small, start against a team like Minnesota. It was great to see the guys win the game the other night, dominating a team from beginning to end like they did the Minnesota Timberwolves. But against the Memphis Grizzlies, they are a very good team, well coached. One thing that I don't feel like is talked enough in Rockets world, I guess you can call it, is when the Rockets traded De'Anthony Melton with Ryan Anderson for Marquise Chriss and Brandon Knight, That's a tough trade to swallow if you're a Rockets fan right now. Like, think about De'Anthony Melton and what he could provide to this team right now. Now, through all the trades and everything that has happened, he may not still be a Rocket, you know, but imagine if De'Anthony Melton was on this team. I mean, for the Rockets tonight, Avery Bradley played 15 minutes. De'Anthony Melton would be a starter for this team, I feel like. John Wall's performance tonight makes me shake my head a little bit. He's been questionable two out of the three, you know, three games. Wonder what's going on with him. It would not shock me if it came out early this week if he was hurt just a little bit, because he is definitely not playing like himself. So those are just a few things that I see. Getting to the comments, if you guys, you know, obviously we at the Dream Take, myself and Ray Lucas and Jeremy Brenner, want to make this the most interactive Rockets post-game podcast in the game. So if you guys have any comments or you have anything that you want discussed, throw it in the comment section and we will discuss it to our heart's content. Once again, your unhappy final from inside of Toyota Center tonight, the Rockets drop this game to the Memphis Grizzlies, 120-110. Big fan and big contributor to the show, Ryan Santoro, says, hopefully Kelly Olynyk will stick with us for the future. Look, y'all, I totally agree. And this is something that has been apparent to me, at least, since the beginning of the season. The Rockets have to get another big to play with Christian Wood. Now, is Kelly Olynyk that guy to play next to Christian Wood? I don't know. I really don't. I mean, Kelly Olynyk's been here for, what, three games? Like, it's not fair. And Christian Wood has been out the past couple games. So it's unfair to judge that performance of Kelly Olynyk, what he would look like next to Christian Wood. Kelly Olynyk is interesting, though, because he's a guy I'm going to call a tweener. Like, is he a starter in the league? I know he was starting with Miami. He started for the Rockets tonight. But do you guys really honestly believe that he's a starter in the league long term? Would you pay him as a starter? I mean, this year he's making $12 million. And, I mean, he's played really well since becoming a Rocket. But my ultimate question is, as a free agent this summer, if he looks around and he says, well, guys, you know, I've enjoyed my time in Houston. I mean, I like what I've seen thus far in Houston. But if Christian Wood's here and I'm not a power forward, do I really want to come back to the Rockets? That's the type of question that needs to be answered, I feel like, the rest of the season. And I'm excited. I mean, look, what I saw tonight was entertaining basketball. And yes, my mood tonight is definitely driven by the fact that my alma mater is going to the Final Four. But I actually, you know, I caught most of the game, you know, between the Rockets and the Cougs tonight. So I like what I saw from the Rockets tonight. I thought they played hard. I thought they played tough. I thought they played at a good energy level. That's what I want to see for the rest of the season from this team. Angelito says, we have to move with our young core and buy out Wall. We need to move forward. Oh, Angelito, that's a good point. I don't think so. I still think John Wall has a benefit to this team. I think he's a good role model for the younger guys. And if he's on the team, does it inhibit the progression and the growth of other guys on the team? You know, maybe, but I honestly feel like he still has a benefit here. And I think if you're going to move on from Wall, you don't just buy him out. Because I do think that there would be a taker on the trade market for a guy like John Wall. And yes, John Wall is making a ton more money than Victor Oladipo. But if you can find a home for Victor Oladipo, which the Rockets were able to do, I still firmly believe that you can find a home for John Wall on the trade market. Another guy that I want to touch on just a little bit more before we get to some more comments. You guys are awesome. Thank you all so much for hanging out with me here on this Monday evening. DJ Augustine. DJ Augustine was a guy that Jeremy Brenner and I talked about at the beginning of the season of potential free agents that we would like to see end up here to replace Austin Rivers' minutes. And Austin Rivers was just bought out over the weekend from the Oklahoma City Thunder when he was traded there. DJ Augustine has done nothing but impress this fan since arriving in Houston. I do feel like he's done a great job at leading the second unit, which is exactly what you wanted him to do. So shout out to one DJ Augustine. Ryan Santoro says, if Houston gets the second pick, do you take Suggs from Gonzaga or do you take Evan Mobley from USC? Oh, man, Ryan Santoro, that's a great question. Me personally, I'm taking Evan Mobley for the simple fact that Evan Mobley, I feel like, is John Collins, but more of a big man game than John Collins. John Collins has a little bit more inside out to his game. But I honestly feel like Evan Mobley is a better fit for this team as the power forward long term. Gives you more of an inside presence with Christian Wood, because Christian Wood does like to play on the outside a little bit more, and Evan Mobley can be your big guy inside. I did watch when USC absolutely manhandled Oregon yesterday, did a great job against Oregon, and Evan Mobley was impressive. I mean, Evan Mobley is the type of player that can be your front court anchor for a while with this team. He would be a guy. Jalen Suggs, great ball player for Gonzaga. I don't know how I feel about Jalen Suggs when you already have Kevin Porter Jr. in the fold here. You know, I don't know if Jalen Suggs can play enough off of the ball to support a guy like Kevin Porter Jr. I'm not sold on that. So in my opinion, I would take Evan Mobley from USC before I would take Jalen Suggs. But that would be my personal opinion on that. Jake says it was competitive the whole game. That's what I like to see against a decent team like Memphis. You know, I almost don't even want to add on to that and ruin that comment because it's true. You know, it really is. The point of this team the rest of the way, just look competitive. Find guys that want to be here. And all of the credit in the world goes to Avery Bradley and to Kelly Olynyk, because these guys could very easily have said, look, we just got traded from Miami, who's going to be a playoff team, is going to make some noise in the Eastern Conference. We're going to the one of the three worst teams in the league. You know, can you guys just buy us out? We're not even going to show up. Kelly Olynyk has not only showed up, but he has, you know, balled out. You know, he has balled out since being here. Avery Bradley gave the Rockets some good minutes tonight. I've been a big fan of his since coming into the league from the University of Texas. Now, University of Texas-wise, we have DJ Augustine. We have Avery Bradley. So that's kind of cool to see. Alex Valdez, thank you for chiming in, says, what's the worst case scenario if we fall out of the top four picks? Ooh, Alex Valdez, that's a great question. Worst case scenario, I mean, that's devastating to me. This team is a bottom four of the league bad right now. If they don't end up in the bottom four and keep their pick, it's catastrophic. I'll call it catastrophic because the dominoes falling after that happens, it's not just losing the pick. Like, losing the pick sucks, but you set back your rebuilding plan by at least a year. Because let me ask y'all this. Tell me how this starting lineup sounds to y'all, right? Let's say you get the number one overall pick, and let's say you get Cade Cunningham. If your starting five next year could be John Wall, Cade Cunningham, Kevin Porter Jr., Jayshon Tate, and Christian Wood, that's a damn good team. That's a playoff team. And then off the bench, you'd have Eric Gordon. Do you find a way to re-sign Kelly Olynyk? You're going to find some veterans that would want to play on that team. You got to throw a little bit of money at him, but you can afford to throw money at him because You know, Cade Cunningham's on a rookie contract. Kevin Porter Jr. is on a rookie contract. Jayshon Tate is on a rookie contract. Christian Wood is on a very, very doable, what is it, 3 years, $43 million contract. Like, you can convince a guy like Tillman Fertitta, who I've been very critical of, but that team would be good enough to compete. That team would be good enough and fun enough, I feel like, to put some fans in the seats. What happens if you don't get Cade Cunningham? Let's say you fall out of the top four picks and you look at your starting lineup of John Wall, Kevin Porter Jr., Jayshon Tate, KJ Martin Jr., and Christian Wood. Do I think that's a good team? Yeah, I do. I really do. I think it's a team that could compete for a top 10 team in the West. I don't think that they're bottom of the Western Conference bad with that team, but there's no excitement. It doesn't get you excited. It's hard to describe, right? But if you go to the fan base, and I know this isn't as important to the front office as I believe it is, but I think that there's something to be said when your team has the number one pick and you can go into the offseason. You know, if you're excited, if you're in the bottom four, you know, if you go to the NBA lottery and you get into the top four picks, you can go to your fan base and you can be like, guys, look, tough year last year. It goes without saying, if the Rockets get the number one pick, they are taking Cade Cunningham. I would be shocked if they don't. And Angelito says Cunningham plays like, oh, man. To me, it's a mixture of two guys. I think he plays a lot like Magic Johnson. He's not as big as Magic Johnson, but he's girthy like Magic Johnson. And he also plays a lot like Paul Pierce. I see a lot of Paul Pierce in Cade Cunningham. The way that he shoots the ball, the way he plays defense. Well, what I like about Cade Cunningham was the fact that he went to Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State's not known as like a powerhouse school. He went there because he fell in love with the coaching staff. He fell in love with the process. You know, he liked the atmosphere at Oklahoma State. So I think he would fit in perfectly with the Rockets. But those are the two guys that I look to. He passes like Magic. He shoots like Paul Pierce. He plays defense a lot like Paul Pierce. Good rebounder. To me, bona fide number one pick in the draft. Jake says, getting the first pick not only brings the best in the draft, it also entices free agents to look at this team. It's a great point, Jake. And to me, when you look at this team, you look at the potential of this team, right? And big fan of the Dream Shake, one of our most avid commenters, Jerry Jones, says, did we win? No, Jerry, we didn't. As you know, I think you guessed that we would lose this game when the article came out this morning. So no, we did not win. We lost 120 to 110. But Jake, it makes a great point, right? Getting a guy like Cade Cunningham to go with a guy like Kevin Porter Jr. and Jayshon Tate and KJ Martin Jr. and Christian Wood, that could be the big enticing piece to a guy like John Collins, who I firmly believe is leaving the Atlanta Hawks at the end of the season, because I don't feel like Atlanta has the money to sign John Collins when they've already paid Danilo Gallinari. They're going to have to pay Trae Young. They already paid Bogdan Bogdanovic. So I don't feel like Atlanta's going to have the money. And John Collins may look at this team and say, look, and I like KJ Martin Jr. John Collins is an all-star. I mean, he's an all-star level type player. If you can find a way to lure John Collins here and play with Wall and play with KJ Martin and play with Eric Gordon and Christian Wood, that's the type of team that Raphael Stone is going for. And they are going all in on trying to get the number one pick in the draft. Say what you want. I rewatched that game from Friday night when we blew it in the fourth quarter. They were not trying to win that game. Okay. I will firmly believe that. If I'm wrong, I will take that to the grave with me. But I honestly looked at that game. You know how hard it is for NBA players to not score one bucket in 7.5 minutes? Keep that in mind. Let's look ahead to the the schedule for the rest of the week. And as a programming note, if you're listening to the show right now, thank you so much. Wednesday night, you will have me back here on Facebook Live. Friday night and Sunday, you will have Jeremy Brenner and or Ray Lucas on the Locker Room app. Wednesday night, we will be playing at the Brooklyn Nets with one James Edward Harden. I believe he will be playing in that game, playing at an MVP level. So we are at Brooklyn at 6:30 on Wednesday. Friday, we are at the Boston Celtics. So a really difficult back-to-back here for the Rockets Wednesday and Friday. And then we play on Sunday with the Pelicans here in Houston and back-to-back with Phoenix on Monday, also here in Houston. So the next four games, not an easy schedule here for the Rockets. Once again, at Brooklyn on Wednesday, at the Boston Celtics on Friday, versus the Pelicans here on Sunday, and versus the Suns here on Monday. Once again, your unhappy final from inside of Toyota Center, 120 to 110, the Memphis Grizzlies beat the Houston Rockets. The Memphis Grizzlies shot a ridiculous 54% from the field this evening compared to 43% for the Rockets. The Grizzlies did shoot 35% from three, 11 of 31, and the Rockets were 11 of 42. That's going to be something that the Rockets need to improve on, not only through the rest of this season, but in the offseason. Every player that is playing for the Rockets right now needs to be able to improve their three-point shot. Too many times this season, the Rockets simply have not been able to shoot a decent enough percentage from the three-point line to win games. The Rockets only turned the ball over 12 times tonight compared to 16 turnovers from the Grizzlies. The rebounding edge went to the Memphis Grizzlies, which isn't shocking with Jonas Valanciunas going for 30 points and 15 rebounds. The Grizzlies did have 31 assists compared to 28 for the Rockets. The Rockets did have one more block, five compared to the Grizzlies, four. And that is about it. And that is going to wrap up this very short edition of the post-game show here on the Facebook page for the Dream Shake. While we are talking about the Dream Shake, make sure to follow the Dream Shake on Twitter. You can find the mothership of the Dream Take at Dream Shake SBN. Make sure to follow the Dream Take on Twitter as well at the Dream Take. You can follow me on Twitter at BSW podcast underscore MB. Make sure to give my co-pilot a follow as well, Jeremy Brenner at JeremyBrenner. Ryan, last question before we sign off tonight. What's the foreseeable future for the Rockets? Losses. I mean, I'm kidding, kind of, not really. Look, the foreseeable future for the Rockets, I honestly believe, is more losses than wins. You got to hope that they can build off the effort that I saw on the court tonight. They played really, really hard from beginning to end. And I know some people, you know, like Jerry. I appreciate Jerry Jones, one of our biggest fans here at the Dream Shake. His passion, he wants to win. He wants the team to win. I want the team to win as well. But I'm growing more and more accepting of the process that this team is going to go through here for the rest of the season. It is what it is. So I anticipate more losses than wins, unfortunately, but I hope I'm wrong. Until next time, Rockets fans, go Rockets!